preparing to pray with Rublev's icon of the Trinity, based on Abraham's visitors, Genesis chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oak of Mamre, as he sat in the entrance of his tent while the day was growing hot. Looking up, he saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to greet them, and bowing to the ground, he said, "Sir, if it please you, do not go on past your servant. Let some water be brought, that you may bathe your feet, and then rest under the tree. Now that you have come to your servant, let me bring you a little food, that you may refresh yourselves, and afterward you may go on your way." "Very well," they replied. "Do as you have said." Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quick, three measures of bran flour, knead it and make bread." He ran to the herd, picked out a tender, choice calf, and gave it to his servant, who quickly prepared it. Then he got some curds and milk, as well as the calf that had been prepared, and set these before them, waiting on them under the tree while they ate. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he replied. One of them said, "I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will then have a son." Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent just behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years, and Sarah had stopped having her menstrual periods. So Sarah laughed to herself and said, "Now that I am worn out and my husband is old, am I still to have sexual pleasure?" But the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really bear a child as old as I am?' Is anything too marvelous for the Lord to do? At the appointed time, about this time next year, I will return to you, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah lied, saying, "I did not laugh," because she was afraid. But he said, "Yes, you did." You don't need any background on an icon in order to contemplate with it. However, in terms of preparation, sometimes it is helpful to know a little bit of the background. Hopefully, as you look at the icon, you can see some very clear references to the passage that we have just read. You can see the oak tree of Mamre. You can see the entrance to the tent. And you see the three angels. In the scripture passage, we're not given any indication of who the angels are, but we are led to believe that one of them is the voice of God. Traditionally, we have come to understand this icon as the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, many theologians over the years and people that study iconography have tried to figure out which is which, and in the end, it's probably unsure. However, the most common view seems to be that it's the Son in the middle. And I say this because Jesus is often typically represented in colors. Iconography often uses colors to portray meaning. Red is a symbol for humanity, and blue is a symbol for divinity. So you can see that the angel in the middle is wrapped in humanity with red, and on top of the red is wrapped in divinity. If you notice the right hand of the angel as well, there's two fingers that are pointed out. If there's two fingers pointed out, that means the other three are tucked under. This has always been known to convey the meaning of the Trinity. The three fingers that are tucked under represent the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the two fingers that are pointing outward represent Jesus, fully human and fully divine, the two natures of Jesus. The angel on the right is often thought to be the Holy Spirit because you see the colors of blue, which represent divinity, and also green, which usually represent the natural world. And above the angel on the right, you'll also see a mountain. In icons, a mountain is often seen as the experience of the encounter of God. It also symbolizes a heightened sense of purity, which signifies the Holy Spirit. Some say, too, that the center angel is the one in front of the tree, and the tree, of course, is symbolic for not only the tree in the scripture, but the wood of the cross that Jesus would be crucified on. And finally, the angel to the left, some presume, is the Father. The Father is wrapped in gold, and you see the blue underneath is the divinity. So it's almost a sense of divinity, even highlighted or wrapped more so in gold. All three of the angels have wings and halos, which represents their divinity. You'll also notice the tent, or the home in the background, is symbolic and could be represented as our home in eternal life, that Jesus promises us that in his Father's house there are many dwelling places. And so the angel on the left could very well represent the Father. So there you have the Trinity. One other thing you'll notice is the table. Certainly we would all be familiar with the chalice. And to us it does look like the chalice in the center of the table, which is symbolic for the Eucharist. What's very interesting is there's a niche in the front of the table. It could almost be seen as an altar. Now some talk about the niche that is placed there for a relic. So in every altar in the old days, there used to always be a relic that was placed inside the altar. But others, and I think a very profound theology of studying this icon, is that the niche is an open place for us. That's the place for you to go, to place your heart, so that you can be there, right at the altar of God, right in the midst of the Trinity, and right in the middle of this scene. So as you pray with this icon, in the beginning your eyes will probably go wild as you look around at all the different details. But with contemplation, we're not trying to figure it out, we're not trying to meditate, although there can be a time for that. Ultimately, contemplation is simply being with God. So as we gaze upon this icon, just like you would pray with the Word, let your eyes move around until they settle on something, and then allow your eyes just to remain there and to gaze. And at some point, hopefully you'll come to a silence and a stillness, where you just simply rest with this icon, where you enter into the mystery of the Trinity, where you actually experience a glimpse of this window into heaven, and you have this contemplative moment of being with God. Take some time now and contemplate the icon of the Trinity.